Blog Talk Radio. Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard.
Hi, it's Natalie Jean, Natalie Jean. It's Nat chatting with Nat. Today we have soul and rock singer-songwriter Juliet Hawkins, and you're going to love her as much as I do. A modern troubadour with footprints in both the soul and rock worlds, singer-songwriter Juliet Hawkins brings her message of hope and self-acceptance in her new EP, Lead with Love. From the start of her musical journey in Rockport, Massachusetts, on a path that led to working at an orphanage in Peru, since in Wyoming and California, and finding her true voice in Nashville, Tennessee, Hawkins' commanding vocals evoke a place of self-healing. The fusion of her fiery personality and artistry stirs and inspires the listener, from her rendition of Cage the Elephant's Trouble to the smoky bedroom pop track Let You Leave, Hawkins' compass points home. I chose the Cage of the Elephant cover because, besides being a personal fan of the Nashville band, the message felt relevant given the time. Hawkins, who first released the single on July 3rd, said it was the first to be released as well to set a personal and global storyline. The solution to the trouble is love. Her recovery after the devastation of a drug addiction doesn't define Hawkins. Her energy now focuses into music. She's into plant-based medicinal. Her independent soul has taken her places near and far off the beaten path. She's enlightened her world with surges of adrenaline and centered meditation, like the lotus blossom tattooed on her body. And ingrained in her art, Hawkins' trek aims not for perfection, but for enlightenment. Lead with Love is released on a full harvest moon day. Let's give a round of a welcome for Juliet Hawkins.
Hi.
Hi, Juliet. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing well. Listen, I was very excited when Melissa sent me your stuff. I watched your music video, and I was like, oh, my God, I have to interview her because she's just it. You're so fully empowered beyond measure. I'm like, I don't know. I may be in love. I don't know. I love the
totally.
Fact
thank
you empower who you are. You are amazing, amazing, just simply amazing. And I'm truly honored to have you on the show. So how did you get into the music business?
Well, I basically almost failed all the other subjects. So music welcomed me with open arms and bad grades. I've always been really drawn into music and started singing and writing when I was young. And as I grew up, writing and music just really continued to speak to me.
Wow. Yeah, for me, it's the same thing. I think music has been my saving grace. I mean, you can let go of everything. You can scream, you can shout, and then it also has the power to heal. So thank God for people like you that want to write about everything that's out there in the world so that people have a healing space. So it's truly an honor to have you. What about your music? Great question for you. Is rebellion unconventional or
Say it again.
So what about your music is rebellious, unconventional, or unusual?
I think all of it. I'm being in Nashville, not conforming to what other people are doing with music. And as far as the style, the things I'm talking about are pretty in your face. And I think that confusion inspires new thinking. So a lot of times in doing something that's a little bit strange, a little bit out there, talking about my sexuality, talking about being with women, it oftentimes pushes the listener's envelope, and that's really as an artist, I think, the goal.
Okay. I'm definitely in love. As an artist, I'm going to be following you everywhere because you embody a woman that speaks her truth. And I think a lot of artists are afraid to be who they are sometimes because they have a fear that their fans won't like them. You know, they're bringing themselves out there. They don't know how people are going to react. But you know who you are as an artist, and that is tremendous. So let me ask you this, because I've asked a lot of people this about the whole, I don't know, did you watch the Grammys?
I didn't.
So I don't know if you know the whole controversy, but because I know who you are as an artist, so apparently Cardi B after the effect, it was on YouTube. Cardi B and Megan Stallion did one of the videos, you know that song. And so, you know how the video is. The video is graphic. So, you know, they deserved the performance. And then after that, everybody was in an uproar. Oh, my God, how could they have done that? My thing is that they basically knew Cardi B and Megan Stallion were going to that. How far should somebody push their creativity? Do you think that people should tell artists how to create?
No, I think that's what gives an artist its thumbprint, or that his or her thumbprint is by doing exactly what speaks to them. And rappers have been singing about pussy and dick and all of that for years, and so the fact that a couple of women are talking about anatomically their own situations and their what feels good to them, what's wrong with that? I think if anything, it speaks to what's wrong with our society. What am I supposed to just sing about love songs all the time about being in love and saving myself? And it's not realistic. It's not accurate. It's not progressive. It shuns a whole gender. That this is, you can be an artist, but only so much. Only like this can you be an artist. It's not, I think, more power to them.
Exactly. I often tell people, you would never tell an artist that paints that they need to add another splash of blue, another splash of orange. It seems like people are
totally
judgy when it comes to, especially women performing on the stage, and if they're actually provocative, you know, people have a lot to say. It's interesting. I've seen a lot of members, what's their genre? So I agree with you 100% that people can be telling us how to create. This is coming from within our soul. Who are your musical influences?
I would say Harry Styles, Halsey, Amy Winehouse, LP, big fan of LP.
What would you say is your writing process? How do you go about writing a song?
A lot of times I'll have a melody kind of playing with something in my head. And then I have books on books of just lyrics. And so I'll go back when I have this melody and I'll go back and I'll try different words that work or phrasing that works in that tune or that kind of phrasing of the melody. So it usually starts with a tune.
Okay. Now, where is the craziest place you've ever created a song? You know, what struck a chord in you to decide, oh my God, I need to write about this?
Well, honestly, I'll play daddy. That was, I remember doing a photo shoot in a hotel, this really old hotel in here in Nashville. And I ended up getting naked because the wood was so beautiful. And I was like, God, the female form would be really beautiful against this wood. And I didn't want to ask because I knew he'd say no. So I just went ahead and did it. And as I was laying there on these awesome leather studded couches, I realized, God, I'm a daddy too, that you don't have to be a female to be the boss.
Right.
You don't have to be that no matter what, you can be who you want to be.
Yep. The amen to that. Nobody should tell you who to be, what to be, and how to act either.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I just felt like as I was sitting there and I had a cigar in my hand and I had a glass of whiskey in the other hand. And I was like, God, I am the man that I want to be with. Or I'm the man that I could, you know, the man that I've always wanted is in me.
I dig it. I can definitely dig it. Do you play any instruments?
I do. I play guitar and keys.
See, I tried to just have the whole thing. I felt like my body had to be recorded to do the guitar. So now I'm still trying to learn the keyboard. I bought a smart keyboard 4 or 5 years ago, still in the box, but it's coming out this year. I'm going to do it. How do you deal, if somebody gives you negative feedback, how do you deal with criticism? Because in this industry, we get a lot of criticism.
Well, I mean, it's not easy, and it's not necessarily the greatest thing to hear.
Right.
Things that aren't positive about your work and about something that you work so hard on or you really believe in or something that's truly in your core. It's one thing to be, if I'm not a good science student and I do a science project and I hear that I did a poor job, that's okay because that's not my subject. But when it's something that really means something to you and someone doesn't like it, it's a chance for me to say, well, fuck them. Not everyone's gonna like what you do, and I can't please everybody. But the people who do dig it, they dig it, and that's, I think, as an outspoken artist, as an outspoken human, you're gonna do things and say things and create things that other people don't like, and that's just part of the game.
You nailed it.
So it's really an opportunity to say, hey, it's okay. It's not everyone can like it.
You nailed it. And I often give other artists the same advice because music is subjective. Not everybody's going to like your stuff, and there are going to be people that are going to love your stuff. You can hear yourself one thing, love it, and then something else, and they can hate it. I think it all begins with self-love. And if whatever you put out, you got to put your whole energy and love in it. That is it. So I 100% agree with you. Tell me about this song that I have here, She's So High. What is that about?
Yes. So that's a cover of a 90s rock song, She's So High. I became sort of obsessed with this older song and wanted to make two different versions. So I made an EDM electronic version and then kind of a softer acoustic style version. But I loved it. And it was just a fun song that I heard being able to expand so much further past the 90s rock beat.
Awesome sauce. Okay. So we're going to play that right now. I listened to it.
Cool.
You are phenomenal. Let me say that again.
Thank you.
I'm going to mute you for a little bit, and then we're going to hear a word from the speaker, and then I'm going to play it. Hold on one second.
Awesome.
Hi, it's Jordan and Madison, and we're Jay Madison out of Nashville, Tennessee. We'd love to tell you about B-Squared Management, artist services by artists for artists. Get your press, branding, single release, and sync success plan now at bsquaredmgmt.com. And listen up to our latest single, Down, now on Spotify.
Flesh and bone, no touch, still a cold. She said, smells like Satan. I can't believe anything she's having. I know what I feel like, nothing's gonna happen. So I'm
I had to get that applause. Oh, that was amazing. I love that cover. What I liked about you, you have a unique voice. And you're very authentic. You're just authentic. I've been posting a lot of inspirational quotes recently about authenticity, because in this world, I don't think there are a lot of authentic people anymore. It's just ridiculous. But tell me.
I agree.
Oh, my gosh. The past couple of years, how have you been dealing with this whole pandemic thing that's out there?
Honestly, this past year has been the most productive year of my entire music career, even though despite everything, I took a lot of time to write, and record, and I've managed to luckily and thankfully be able to still gig at a venue that takes all the precautions.
Okay.
Pretty regularly. So we have a gig this Friday. But I got really lucky that I didn't get completely blasted off the gig schedules.
That's awesome. Very good for you. Did you do any live streaming?
I did do a couple live streams. I actually did one with Hello TV, and
okay.
it was kind of like a live production, like at a concert, but it was actually just in a studio, and so they recorded it so that it looked, the way that they shot it made it look like it was kind of like in a stadium.
Okay.
But it was actually just in a studio, and it was, that helped a lot for being able to reach people on a professional level.
Tell us about your album, your EP called Lead With Love. How did you come up with that?
So that's actually my older EP. I put out this summer, but it was all about, I kind of did that, what you guys read in the beginning was chronological as far as mood goes, trouble, and then Lead With Love, and that... I wrote that while I was during quarantine. I wrote that when I was in the woods, and it was just kind of, besides the Cage the Elephant song, it was all about love and opening your heart and just being able to be in a place where you're growing because you're opening up and empowering yourself to be okay alone. Let You Leave is kind of encompasses that in sort of a flirty pop track, but it talks a lot about enjoying something or someone and being able to let them leave and be okay on your own, and that you don't really need anybody but yourself.
Amen. Amen to that. So tell us a little bit about your background. I read that you're a recovering addict. How was your view at the place where you were recovered addict and the meditational aspect of life?
Yeah, my recovery doesn't look like everybody else. I'm not like a 12-step big book thumper. With all due respect, I'm into plant medicine. I smoke weed and I like mushrooms. But I struggled with opiates for a few years and overdosed. And I got really lucky to get a second chance. I basically packed up my car and drove out to Wyoming and found my own sense of God. And greatly through psychedelics, through nature, was I able to come back to a place of my life has meaning, my life has purpose, my life matters.
Wow. That is a totally different perspective, but it worked for you, and I'm happy that you are in the place where you are right now. What do you love?
Yeah, I don't.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. It's okay.
No, go ahead.
It's an interesting thing to talk about because it's not, a lot of people would expect me to be completely sober. But my journey is a little bit different in that I went down a pretty dark path and was into some really dark things and then kind of came out of it on the other side. And I'm a lot happier now, but I think that only in recognizing those dark parts of ourselves are we able to find light. That I'm not ashamed of it because it made me and my music who I am.
That's it. You've nailed it right there. I mean, if you can appreciate every flaw, every beautiful act you do, and you know what works for you, and you don't have to apologize to anybody. You have to do for yourself because the concept program is a beautiful program. But you found something that works for you, and you have the right
totally.
To you can sit, and you're happy, and you're doing amazing. So congratulations to you on that. If you have writer's block, how do you deal with writer's block?
You know, meditating is a huge thing. Deep breathing. exercising. I think that I've had writer's block before, and it's kind of a scary thing because you wonder, when am I going to get my creative juices flowing again? But it's when you stop thinking and stop putting that pressure on it and just be, get outside, hang out with a friend. I rollerblade. I'm into yoga. Like, I have other activities that I like to do that a lot of times kind of help me get out of that funk.
That's awesome. Now, when you moved to Nashville, how receptive were, you know, artists to who you are as an artist?
You know, the artists were a lot more receptive than radio play. That's for sure. But I made some really cool friends really quickly that were. They figured it out here in Nashville, I feel like, in order to keep it, you have to give it away. And that only in lifting other people up do you lift yourself up. That's something I did not have when I was living in California. People were such crabs in a bucket over there, so afraid that they might lose if they help you or that,
right.
You know, they're too self-seeking. Whereas here, people have really stepped up and brought me in under their wing a little bit. So I found people pretty receptive to it.
That's awesome. What are your ambitions as a songwriter? and musician?
I'd like to put out a full live album. That's a goal for this spring. I'd like to record a live album. I'd really like to get a song in a movie, specifically Quentin Tarantino.
Yes.
It would be really cool. So those are two kind of milestones I'll be working on this spring.
Yeah. I could see your music in the Quentin Tarantino film. It actually fits the bill, and I hope you have lots of success with that. How do you deal with all of the? I always ask this question. It's a lot of work for me. I'll be on all these social media platforms. But you have to be everywhere now, and we have to engage. How do you deal with that?
Honestly, I'm not very good at it. There's a huge part of me that really despises technology. I think technology has been the demise of human connection. And I think that I really try to keep a relevance on social media, and I try and engage audiences, but I'm also really busy trying to stay present. And I find there's this like double-edged sword to technology, the fact you can reach people that you may never meet. And pitching to playlists or doing live streams that access other countries or other states. And I think that it's magnificent. And I also think it's a little sad because people are so focused on this number, this following, or this this number above your picture determines your worth, and that's just not true. So finding the balance between doing what I'm supposed to do, in quotes, as an artist on these social media platforms, and also being true to myself as a human, is a day-to-day challenge.
Right. Right. How hard do you feel that it is? Independent artists need to be seen and heard. Like, I always tell people that I think it's the media's fault that we're not seen and heard, is because obviously it's pay to play. I like Lizzo, but my sister playing her song Running Moon and Night, she's not her anymore. And I know in the beginning the song is that you're going to play it to death, but after a while it was just too much. And so as independent artists, we really have to battle against the mainstream just to heard. Do you think this is part of the problem in the pay-to-play?
Can you say that one more time?
So in the music industry, for independent artists, it's hard for us to be seen and heard because we're going against the mainstream artists. And so obviously when it comes to radio, it's pay-to-play. Like, at one point they were playing Lizzo so much I couldn't listen to her anymore. I had to turn the radio station every time she came on. I just couldn't do it anymore. And so,
yep.
You don't have deep pockets like the mainstream artists. How are we supposed to be seen and heard? Do you think that the media has played a part in this? Because it seems as though they just want you to know a couple of artists. If it's not Taylor Swift, who I love, if it's not Adele, Beyonce, Jay-Z, or whoever, these are the only people we may, or the rest of the world may know. So,
right.
There's a part in not allowing more independent artists to be heard and seen?
I think that these platforms like iHeartRadio could do a lot for the local community, that I think it's going to take a global, like, conscious shift for people to say, we need to hear more from unsigned artists. We need to hear more from the local community. Someone like iHeartRadio could do something really cool, but like iHeartLocal, and have a whole segment amidst the Demi Lovatos and the Ariana Grandes, and have a local avenue for people who are up and coming or people who are unsigned and are out there. But it would really have to take some heart. It would have to take some of these bigger corporations that make so much money off of the Demi Lovatos and the Taylor Swifts, and it would take them having to say, hey, we need to open this up. Let's get some versatility in there. And it takes, honestly, there it would take a woman, in my opinion, and I have a feeling there's not a lot of that at iHeartRadio. I feel like
probably you're probably right.
Yeah.
But I
yeah,
like.
Yeah,
you have a great idea. The iHeart vocal is a really good idea. And it needs to
because
be
because it would give a voice. Yeah, it would give a voice to the local community, and it would also give a little bit of a heartbeat to these corporate companies. Instead of just all about money and plays and these celebrities getting their music out there, what about the local scene?
Exactly. You're 100% correct, because, listen, I listen to a lot of independent music, and these independent artists out here are simply amazing, and sometimes they're great more than the mainstream artists. I mean, Beyonce has one song that has 12 writers to it. I don't know who's funny on that song. But, and then we have the independent artists that write their own music, and it's just them, and it's hard for them to hurt. Now, what I understand is that UMG and Sony have decided to create independent labels. Yeah, they're going to create independent labels, and I don't know what they're going to do, but what do you want to sign with a major label, or would you prefer to stay indie?
Honestly, I prefer to stay indie. It would really actually have to depend on the situation. If it was a good label and they were really representing me well, and I still had my voice and I could be me,
I think
the biggest concern is losing that individuality, and that having someone say, "Well, we signed you, so now shave your head and sing more about whatever, jump ropes." Like, I want to be able to do what I want to do and say what I want to say and dress how I want to dress and not have to compromise that. So if you can show me a label that that likes me and that respects me and that also lets me do exactly what I want, then I would love to sign with them.
And I agree with 100% with you. I had an interview with one of my she does licensing thinking me out. She said the same thing. She was trying to balance it out. It's just one thing to understand. You can negotiate your contract. The thing with the label is that you have a lot of money to get back, that it can cost you. The thing is, you need to bring your authenticity to the table and say, look, you want to sign me, but you can't change me. So you'd have to balance it out. But I'm with you. I like the whole idea of the kind of label versus or indie versus the major label, unless there was like a big room for negotiations and I could remain who I am as an artist. So I love your answer on that. How far do you think women have come in the music industry? You know, music, the women weren't even as much as the men, and now they're trying to do 50-50. And it's, I think it's just really sad. You would think that music is a place where everybody can get along, everybody can have equality. But even in music, women always think we're always back there, and now we're pushing ahead. How much do we have to go in the music industry?
How far do you have to go to what?
For women, how far do you think we have to go in the music industry? Now, you know, there's stepping stones. Now women in country are being heard more on the radio. Before it was like, you know, song, it has to be all the men. So, and then women producers are now just being heard. You know, I had a friend tell me she was the only producer, female producer at this conference. It was all men. So how far do you think we have to go or seen, really seen?
I think all the way. I think that women really, the biggest thing we can do is band together. Which is why I love the sisters vibe, because that's the only thing keeping us from being, from conquering and ruling the world, really, is the togetherness aspect. That I think if women were to unite together and say, no, we're going to be heard, we're going to be seen, you're going to play our music, we're on the top. It's those little steps in between we got to conquer. And I think it begins with self-love. It begins with really being, you know, being sure of yourself and saying, I am unique and so is she. I'm special and so is she. Instead of this, there's a little bit of a competition thing that I think we really got to smudge out, because it's, the truth is everybody is unique. You look at your thumbprint and you are a snowflake. Every single one of us is different. And each one of us has something to offer that the other doesn't. So it's, you know, I think that if we can get past that and reaffirm those kind of mantras of, we in this together, girl power, the more that we can do that, the quicker that we can rise to the top together.
I agree 100%. When was it that you actually became very comfortable in your own skin?
Honestly, I'd say about 29, 28.
Okay.
Coming into my 30s, I really learned that whether this is a simulation or this is real life, I have control over my world, and life is so short and so precious that I'd rather spend it doing things I love and being around the people I love and saying and being me versus trying to be something I'm not. And that, honestly, that came in my late 20s.
Yeah.
I look back and I'm like, in my early 20s, I was just full of fear, which led me to use drugs because I was really unsure of myself and unhappy in my own skin and didn't know how to be me and love myself.
And so when you became you, and this is an interesting question, maybe, but when you became you, did more people enter your life? Did a lot of people exit your life? Did you change?
Yes.
How did you? Okay.
Kind of both.
Okay.
Really owning myself brought a whole bunch of empowered people into my life and a whole bunch of fearful people out.
Wow.
Which is exactly what I needed to happen.
Wow. Yeah, I'm like you in the sense that some people like that. I don't have that won't like it. I mean, I have to be me. I'm not about me, and I'm not here to live my life for other people. And I think people need to just start accepting who they are, and you know, just wish people happiness.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes we need to speak up, because when you, as an artist, are advocating for somebody else, that helps you in the process of getting out of their own skin and speaking their own truth. So people like you, we need people like you. I think you're a symbol for just being empowered and loving your own skin and loving everything about yourself. And I think that's phenomenal. If you could give your younger self some advice, what would you say?
If I could give myself advice?
Yeah, your younger self.
Oh, fuck what they think.
I totally.
Just be you, Juliet. You're honest. I sing it in one of my songs. So you're pretty just the way you are. I was so really honestly sad and really lost, and I would have loved to just hug myself and say, everything's going to be cool. Just be you. And really, like, nobody else matters. Just be you. And do it with truth in your heart and love in your heart.
I feel so cool. Yeah, that's so true. I feel the same thing. Just be you.
Yeah.
And be happy with who you are. And like you said, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Because you're the person
right.
That needs to be happy. And whatever out in the universe is what you think about yourself. So why not put the best of you out there? So that's awesome. What is a quote that you like to live by?
I think 20 years from now, you'll regret more what you didn't do than what you did do. So cast off the bow line, sail away from the safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sail, dream, discover, explore. I believe it's Mark Twain. That's probably my favorite because it's so it encompasses everything I've lived with in my heart. Is that one day you'll look back and you'll regret more what you didn't do than what you did do. So just live now, be here now, and just be you.
Everybody hear that? How many tattoos do you have?
13.
I got you beat
by
13. One.
Oh, it's an expensive habit.
Yeah, you know, you get one and you're just like, no, I'm not going to do this again. And then you go to the tattoo place with your friends and you're like, well, maybe I'll get another one.
I know
this. Ugh.
The sound and the smell of a tattoo shop, it kind of triggers that in your head to be like, ooh, I might like a little something else on my arm or a little feather on my back. That would look nice there.
I said I would stop at 12, and then I was like, no, you know, I really want some. I wanted some musical notes, and I put one on one wrist and one on the other, and I'm like, yeah, I think I'm good. But then I was like, I really want to get one. I'll probably get another one because I love body art.
Me too. It's your temple. You got to decorate the walls.
Eggs. I like that. That's what I need to tell my mom. My mom is like, yeah, we really need to take in another one. But I love what you just said. I'm going to say that. Next time somebody says that to me, I'm going to say that. So what do you have coming up?
I got a show on Friday. Right. And I have a song coming out next month on the 20th. And what else? That's all for now. I got a whole bunch of shows at Fat Cat Slim's coming up if you're around Nashville and want to check it out. But I'll be there this Friday, 8 to 11, full band.
Awesome. People need that. People need to go out. You know, go out with your mask on. people to catch the thing, but I think people need to hear and people need to get out there and people need to listen to music because music is the one thing, no matter who you are, people get along. They just get along. And I think this world needs that.
Totally.
So, it's getting insane out there and, you know, the past 6 years and now, you know, you think there'd be more calmness, but no. So tell everybody where they can find you on the internet.
So you can find me on Instagram at Juliet Hawkins Original or Official. It's JulietHawkins Official. You can find me on Facebook at Juliet Hawkins and on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play, whatever you use under Juliet Hawkins. All of my original music's up there.
It's hard for us to remember everywhere that we are. So, you know, I've started to just say, Google me. I'm getting a t-shirt
yes.
that Google me.
Yes. Google me. Totally.
Google me.
I'm
on all the platforms. Just Google me. You'll find me. And everybody, you need to check out Juliet Hawkins' music videos. You'll be on the floor. You'll be inspired. You'll be empowered. You're like, you'll want to go to the gym. you're going to say, okay, I got to get in. You're definitely going to say, I got to get in shape because you look at Juliet Hawkins and you're just like, wow, this is just wow. She's just the epitome almost of perfection. Thank you, Juliet, for being on Chatting with Nat. I really had a great chat with you. I'm going to follow you everywhere that you go. I'd love to do live with you. I think you'd be awesome on live.
Yeah.
In the near future, we definitely need to do that. And I'm going to share your music and let everybody in the world know who you are. And let's get your
Thank
name
you.
Up there. Let's get your name up there in light because people need to see you. So
oh,
thank
you.
So
I would
much.
Love that.
Thank you so much for being
thank
on
you for
chatting
having
with
me.
Us. Thank you. And that was Juliet Hawkins. Everybody follow her. Just Google her and follow her. And this was Natalie Dean with Chatting with Nat.
Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard. Love your voice.